Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life, smiling Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom as well, and thank you for joining us. We will be looking at the prophet Hosea tonight. Some good gold nuggets in there. But as always, let us first give honor to our Lord.
Father God, we do honor you and are so grateful that you have chosen us to be alive in these exciting last days to witness so many discerning sights that we will soon meet your Son in the air. Meanwhile, give us the needed strength, courage, and most of all, wisdom in any situation to glorify you. Bless tonight's listeners. Hear their individual prayers, especially for the salvation of all our loved ones. Please show them mercy and yet do what you must to bring them to their knees. And as you suggest in your word how to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask that you bless this program tonight as we hope it blesses you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I think we should begin by commenting on the Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah, half of it was good.
Right, which means half was not. Mm-hmm. But some large businesses, they're still going to mandate the clot shots to stay in Biden's good graces for monetary reasons, of course. Sadly, healthcare workers, unless they can get an exemption, will be mandated or they'll lose their jobs. And many are already walking away who know the dangers of the multi-layered injections.
Dear Lord, we really need your help.
Oh, amen. I also want to say about the medical ruling that once again, Justices Roberts and Kavanaugh sided with the progressives.
Yeah, you warned us about Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I wrote about him when he was first considered, and even though a Trump appointee, Trump did it as a favor for President Bush to get in his good graces, you know, after slamming his brother Jeb during his campaign.
And everyone knows in Washington, you don't cross the Bushes.
Correct. And remember, before Trump was elected, he had a list of potential justices that he was proud to show and said he would choose from. Well, Kavanaugh was not on that list. He's a Bush puppet, and even Kavanaugh's wife was Georgie's secretary. And Harvard's John Roberts was appointed by President Bush also. And both George Bush and Brent graduated from Yale. And by the way, George Bush and his father and his grandfather, Preston or Prescott, were skull and bonesmen.
As was John Kerry.
Yes, secret society brothers who were taught how to infiltrate conservatism to be used when the puppet masters call.
More info in our archived newsletters on our website dated July 2018.
That's right, right on the webpage. Anyhow, remember the global elite, they must depopulate.
Well, you know, these shots are part of the plan.
Absolutely. Even more so than the plan disease, and Revelation confirms they will be successful. But, and here's the good news, most of the depopulation along with the opened seals will happen after we are gone. Also, these mandates, well, it's a slippery slope to a social crediting score system where the government can limit your freedoms, as in D.C., you know, that Mayor Bowser, who, by the way, she's being indicted for fraud. Well, she has now mandated vaccines in order to enter most all local businesses. So it's not just the food establishments.
Yes, it is in New York, L.A., Boston, mm-hmm. and Philly.
That's true.
And what about these new pills to treat COVID therapeutically?
According to Dr. Pierre Corey, I heard him say last week that Merck's new therapeutic called Molnupiravir does not work and they know it. And Pfizer's drug called Paxlovid has toxicities and does not mix well with other medicines that people might be on.
Even so, you know, neither one of them has enough data.
Uh-huh. Right. And by the way, this is not the first time they push new drugs on people that turned out to be harmful, as in, I think it was called Vioxx and Avania and others. But of course, they won't even suggest already tested for years hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin because they are off-label. So Big Pharma can't make money on them. And I'm telling you, for sure, that is why.
Money over lives.
Pretty disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. Any updates on Russia? Will they move into eastern Ukraine?
Well, if they don't by the middle of March at the latest, they won't, because the ground will start to soften and their tanks, well, they could get stuck.
Oh, well, yeah, right now the ground is about as hard as it gets.
Now, if you remember, they did take Crimea in mid-March in 2014. And that's, of course, when Obama was president and Biden was vice president. And not much happened to Russia as a result. So they might, and they already have infiltrators in there deceiving the people. And, you know, they could do a false flag so that Russia would have cause to defend itself.
Well, that's the oldest trick in the book.
Yes, it is. Also, Russia has been slowly evacuating its embassy members, especially their families. Now, keep in mind, it is just the eastern part that Russia believes is rightfully theirs. And many Russians are still living there from the days of the Soviet Union.
However, we should be sending the Ukrainians more weapons.
Yes. For, if nothing else, to try and deter.
How does that fit into Bible prophecy?
Well, Russia's success would embolden them for when the time comes to attack Israel as Iran's ally and others.
Yes, Ezekiel 38.
Mm-hmm, you got it. Or if they don't invade now, they'll certainly save a lot of money for later. So, as we say,
God's will be done.
Exactly.
And God had blessed Israel lately with much-needed rain.
Oh, so much so they're having to use kayaks to travel down some streets. But no one is complaining. They like their rain. Also, Israel's neighbor to the north, you know, Lebanon, well, they've been in dire need of gas and oil due to Iran's high prices and, well, poor management from Hezbollah. So a deal was agreed upon to supply Jordan with extra resources so that they can go through Syria and help supply Lebanon, who has actually been dealing with cut off electricity for hours at a time most days.
By the way, this was America's idea.
Oh, yeah, it was. They told Israel that this would cut down on Lebanon's dependence on Iranian oil. And Israel has plenty due to their oil hit a few years ago in the Mediterranean. Remember, they named it Leviathan?
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can send your prayer requests, comments, and end time questions to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office. But be sure to leave your phone number with your detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and newsletters all archived. Okay, now it's time to talk about the most important topic.
That's right. For sure it is. And there are 12 minor prophets and 4 major prophets, which just means that they wrote longer books. All the writings are inspired totally by God in our Tanakh.
Or the Old Testament.
Yeah, but I don't like to call it old. It's not really old.
The First Testament.
That's good. So maybe as you read the literal accounts for those times, you could think, okay, those are old times, but then there's nothing really old about them if you look at the prophecies, the typologies, and its many hidden messages. So tonight, we will give you some information, well, to stir you up to personally study it.
To show yourself approved unto God.
Right, 2 Timothy 2:15. And Hosea, who has certainly written a prophetic and very typological account, well, it should pique anyone's curiosity. And by the way, his name means God brings salvation.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said that he is the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah, Jesus is. He said it in Revelation 19. So to ignore these prophetic books, as some churches are prone to do, is to ignore a big part of Jesus.
You know, we should want all of him.
Right. Not just what we think we like or what tickles our ears. Even though the prophets, well, they do tickle my ears for the simple reason to better understand these last days.
Hosea ministered up north during a time of prosperity and growth.
Yes, also called Ephraim, the largest northern tribe. Interesting that America, until more recently, enjoyed a time of prosperity, growth, and high employment. So is God beginning to send judgment to America? Keep that in mind as we continue, because inwardly, in Israel, there was like high moral corruption and extreme spiritual adultery.
Hello, America!
Anyhow, as a typology, God, as a picture of himself, instructs Hosea to marry a lady of harlotry named Gomer. Gomer finally later confesses her sins of adultery and gross unfaithfulness, and she does repent. So Hosea offers her redemption, which also happens with Israel. And more than once, showing the love of God no matter what we do upon sincere repentance.
Well, just think of David and his adultery with Bathsheba.
And also the murder of her husband. And yet, upon his repentance, calls David a man after his own heart. That with repentance helps us all to accept God's forgiveness for our many infirmities. However, we must also point out that we can often reap what we sow while on earth. There can be consequences to our gross sins, as in David losing his firstborn son between him and his adulterous affair with Bathsheba.
So they both had to deal with that consequence.
Yeah, very traumatic for David, and yet he understood totally.
Okay, Hosea was the messenger of God to his wayward people in the northern kingdom.
Yes, and there are two scriptures when God spoke to Hosea that reveals his typology. In Hosea 11, 7 and 8, God said,
"My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt me."
So when in trouble, they pray for help. But when times are good, they ignore the worship of him. Is this why God allows trouble in our lives? Verse 8.
"How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred."
Now that is moving. But jumping ahead to the last chapter, chapter 14, verse 4, where God finally says,
"I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them."
Okay, so you know the ending. Now let's look at a few more details. Hosea, beginning with the unrighteous king Jeroboam II, and then various other evil kings, ministered to Israel for over five decades, who were enjoying tremendous prosperity. Again, the problem was that they were idolaters. They were making sacrifices on heathen altars.
Adultery was prevalent.
And occult ritualistic prostitution abounded. Hosea attributed their wretchedness to a lack of knowledge. brought on because they lacked a relationship with the living God.
Yet this teaches us how God truly loves his people.
That's right. With an understanding love in spite of their corruption.
However, he had to pronounce judgment in order to correct them into repentance.
Yes, and yet it didn't have to be that way. But in 722 BC, they were conquered by Assyria and sold into slavery. Thankfully, repentance came during this time, and God healed their backsliding.
But they lost their land for a while.
Mm-hmm. So this typology is illustrated in the story by Hosea's willingness to buy his wife back from the practice of harlotry and from her enslavement.
Yeah, it's a great and moving story.
Indeed. And now we should point out a couple of future prophecies God gave Hosea for us today. Some were partially fulfilled at Christ's first coming.
And prophesied about his return.
Yes. Also, let us first point out there are two sections to this book. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 portrays faithless actions of Israel toward God, which are illustrated by the relationship between Hosea and his adulterous wife, Gomer.
Whose name, by the way, means complete.
Which could be interpreted to mean different things like complete infidelity.
And then complete forgiveness.
Yeah, good point. And even the names of their children indicate the attitude of God towards Israel. The first is named Jezreel after the city of battles, which signified that God would punish his people. Then there's Lo Ruhamah, which means not pitied. And Lo Ami means not my people, signifying the estrangement, which was the inevitable result of Israel's actions.
Yeah, you know, names were very telling in those days.
Yes, and some are still today, like our names.
Yes.
Then chapters 4 through 14 presents a detailed picture of the depths of depravity to which Israel had gone, with alternating passages of reproof and threats of punishment.
But, you know, we also see assurances of restoration.
Oh, amen. So let's look at three important passages right now, the first being in chapter 12, verse 10, because it spells out that God uses multiple typologies through his inspired men, also called prophets.
I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets.
The word here translated symbols is the Hebrew word dema, number 1819, meaning pictures of learning, or metaphors, or similitudes. And as we said, the book of Hosea is a trophy for typology. As in most of the prophetical books, end time passages are scattered throughout its pages. And how can you tell which ones have been fulfilled and those still in the future? Well, it's shown by the idioms or common expressions that are used.
For instance, in that day, mm-hmm. or day of his wrath.
Yeah, or day of rebuke.
Or a woman in travail.
Or in labor pains, or in tribulation, or affliction. If you don't read these kinds of words in the near context of the passage, it would likely be a prophecy to them. And later fulfilled to them, but before our time today. Again, look at those key words, especially in that day. To be sure, it's a prophecy for the end time church.
That is a very important piece of knowledge.
Oh, for sure. Because we have some teachers who perhaps unknowingly are using already fulfilled pieces of information and then applying to us for today. Now, I realize that history can repeat itself, but that factual information should be openly stated, as in saying, well, perhaps this could happen again, but not emphatically by calling the verse prophetic for us when not seeing the appropriate last days terminology.
Which we see in Hosea 5:15 with the word affliction.
That's right. It's the Hebrew word tsar, T-S-A-R. So Now Jesus himself is speaking through Hosea. He says, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Well, what offense? Well, in Jesus' day, it was unbelief. And we know Jesus returned to his place 40 days after his resurrection at his ascension, Matthew 28. So continuing in verse 15, Jesus says, then they will seek my face. Well, when is that? He goes on to say, in their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. And we have confirmation of that in Matthew 24, Romans 11, and Revelation 12, that they get saved in the middle of the tribulation. Therefore, because of their salvation, God will hide those from Jerusalem in the wilderness from the Antichrist, Matthew 24, around verse 15. Now, let's look at the next first three verses in chapter 6, because Hosea first pleads repentance and then reveals to us how long after Christ's first coming that Israel will finally as a whole return to the Lord. Verse 1, come and let us return to the Lord, and that would be Yahweh. For he has torn, which means corrected them severely, but he will heal us. He will stricken, but he will bandage us up. Okay, here it comes, verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. Okay, now we know this isn't 2 24-hour days, but rather referencing the scripture in Psalm 90, verse 4, that a day to God is as 1,000 years to us. Therefore, we are talking approximately 2,000 years later. Then after the second day, after 2,000 years, at the very onset of the third day, the resurrection slash rapture is already set to happen on God's calendar, because ours are off a bit. How much? Well, we're not really sure. Will he use the lunar calendar or the solar calendar? All we know is we are close. And we see that in verse 2 where he says, on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Again, that will be on the first day of the last millennium, or on the first day of the 7,000th year from creation of Adam. Verse 3 says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Okay, now after the rapture, Israel as a whole will at the Battle of Gog and Magog, during the first half of the tribulation, they will pursue their Messiah. But how do we know it's the Messiah and not just the Father, as they did in the Torah? Well, here's the gold nugget. Because when you look at the word for Lord in Hebrew, it's Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. But in this case, in verse 3, it's also followed by the letters Aleph and Tav, which are Yeshua's initials, and shows up from time to time as an untranslated word in the interlinear, but we know why it's there. It's both the Father and the Son, for they are one, and the Jews will finally accept that and embrace it during their affliction, or Jacob's trouble, also known as the tribulation. Wow, there's a lot there, and I think that we might just briefly go over this again next week, as I have a few more things to tell you about when he's coming back. But until then, let's do the ironic blessing in number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. So, if you don't know the Lord, you better not wait too much longer. He is coming soon. So, till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.